Good morning and welcome. We're so happy that you have come to worship our awesome God with us this morning. I'm especially happy to see that Jesse and Stephen are back. So welcome back. How are the girls? Now, if this is your first time with us, we would really love to get to know you. So towards the end of our worship service, if you don't mind, if you can stand up and just introduce yourself to us. We would love to have that opportunity and privilege to know you and welcome you in person. And even if you have been here for a while, perhaps you've never really had the courage to do so, we want to invite you to do that. We would just love to get to know you better. We feel like this is a big family here, and we're so happy that you have come and be a part of it. And so we would just love to have that opportunity to know you and welcome you. Now, before we continue our worship through the preaching of God's word, I have two announcements to make. The first one is that next weekend I will be out of town speaking, and so I will not be here next Sunday, but our youth minister, Jonathan Xie, will be preaching. And the second announcement is that last night, after 10 p.m., I did get a text message. Jonathan's grandfather passed away last night, and it's a sad news, but we were glad that Jonathan was able to go home and spend this time with his family. And so I do want to ask you to remember him and his family in your prayer. So we don't know when he is coming back exactly, but do pray for the family as they take care of the aftermath. As a matter of fact, let us pray together for Jonathan and his family right now, okay? Father God, first of all, we are very grateful that we can come together to worship you, and even at this very moment, Lord, to offer to you our sincere prayer. Lord, we know that it is never easy to lose someone we know, someone we love, even when we know that they have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and right now they are in your presence. The fact that we are now physically separated and life will be different, that will take some adjustment, that will take some getting used to. And so at this moment, we do pray that your comfort and your peace will be with Jonathan and his family. We thank you that during this past week, many of the family members were able to go back and spend the time with the grandfather. And so, Lord, we know that a lot of things that they will have to take care of. We just pray that you would be there to guide them, that you would be there to hold their hands. We pray that during this time, as a family, they will be able to draw closer to one another and to support one another. And Lord, I know that even among us this very moment, many of us are going through trials and difficulties in our lives. We may not have shared with anyone, but you know what we are facing in life. You know how difficult our decisions are. You know how confused and lost we may be. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning as we continue to worship you, as we look to the Word of God, we ask for the Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, that you would examine our hearts because you know exactly what we need. And so we pray that the Word that is being preached will speak to us in a very timely fashion. I pray that you would give us an alert mind, an open heart, but most importantly, Lord, a courage to do what we know you want us to do. And so, Lord, we do commit this time to you right now. Pray that you will speak to us as we continue to worship you. We want to thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the theme for our church this year is Develop Mature Believers. And we have described a mature believer as someone who knows God and his truth, loves God and his people, and serves God and his purpose. Now, this may sound nice on a piece of paper, but what exactly does that look like in real life? And so this morning, to help us get a better handle on what this mature faith would look like in real life, I want to share with you from the life of Daniel. And we're going to see how a person does not need to be very old before he and she can have a very mature spiritual walk with the Lord. Because the Bible tells us that many young people in the Bible, they actually exhibited incredibly mature faith. And Daniel was one such young person. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is located in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and it's towards the last one-third of the Bible, the section known as the prophetic books. So if you just open your Bible roughly to the middle, you should find the book of Psalms. And then if you go to the right-hand side, you will find the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Okay? And this morning we will look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I appreciate the prayer offered by Jennifer earlier, and she talks about how for many of us, going back to school will be a time of temptation. Because the fact is, soon or later, every one of us will feel the pressure to conform to the world and go with the flow. It is not easy to take a stand and live according to God's truth. So whether you are a student or a working professional, whether you are single or married, whether you are young or old, the fact is that we all face the pressure to conform to this world. And sometimes such pressure to conform can be so great, it can tempt us and even cause us to compromise on our Christian faith. And so this morning, we're going to learn from Daniel how even when we encounter very difficult situations in our lives, we can still live by God's truth and experience God's blessings. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, we are going to see three things about Daniel. First of all, in verses 1 through 7, we're going to see that Daniel, he actually lived in a time of crisis. And this is important because Daniel did not live a sheltered life. He faced some incredible crises in his life that challenged the very core of his faith. And then next, in verses 8 through 14, we're going to see how Daniel, he made a decision to be holy. He decided that he was going to live according to God's truth, no matter what kind of crises he was facing in life. He made up his mind to please God first and foremost. And then finally, as we come to the last section, verses 15 through 20 in Daniel chapter 1, we're going to see how God blesses Daniel for his desire to be holy. And so let us begin with the first section. Would you look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 with me? And why don't we read this section together? All right, so Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Let us read it together. You may encounter some difficult words that you don't know how to pronounce. Don't worry about it, okay? Do your very best, or you can just skip the word if you want. All right, ready? Let us read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried up to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, from this section, we learn that Daniel lived in a very difficult time of great turmoil, and he faced some incredible crises. First of all, we see that Daniel, he faced a national or a political crisis. You see, the Bible here tells us that Daniel's country, Judah, at this time was under attack by the king of Babylon. And Jerusalem, the capital city of his country, Judah, was under siege. Now, if you have been paying attention to this passage, clearly Judah was not able to withstand the invasion from Babylon. And that is why we were also told that some of the people were carried off to Babylon as captives. And even some of the treasure possessions in the temple of God were carried off as trophies to the treasure house of the king of Babylon, the treasure house of his god. And so among the captives, we are told that was a young man by the name of Daniel. Now imagine if you were Daniel. Okay, your country is at the brink of destruction, and you are being carried off as a captive. Now, what is going to happen to your country? Will it survive, or will it be destroyed? And think about this as well. What is going to happen to you? You're being carried off to a place that you have never been before. How will you be treated? Will you be able to survive? Will you ever be able to go back to your homeland again? And so you see, first and foremost, this was the political crisis that Daniel faced. Not only did Daniel face a political crisis, the Bible also tells us he faced a religious or a theological crisis. Now, we are told in this passage that God allowed Judah, his chosen people, to be invaded by Babylon. Now, if you believe in God, you will be wondering, now, God, why would you allow this to happen to your people? Are you still in control? What is your plan? I mean, how would the destruction of your people bring glory to you? And you see, in the ancient world, when two nations wage war against one another and each nation cried out to its own god or gods for help, it was the common belief that the nation that wins the war has the more powerful god or gods. And so imagine if you were Daniel. Okay, you lived during that time, and now your nation is about to be destroyed by a foreign nation. What pops into your mind would be, now, does that mean the gods of Babylon are more powerful than our God? And if that is the case, you know, should I convert to a different faith and believe in someone who is more powerful? And so that was the theological crisis that Daniel faced. But the Bible tells us, in addition to the political and the theological crises, Daniel also faced a personal crisis, and that is an identity crisis. Most likely during this time, Daniel was a teenager, okay, the age when a person is the most impressionable. And Daniel was taken away from his homeland and transported to a foreign country. He was forced to learn a new language, to live in a new place, and take on a new name. But the good part is, the Bible here tells us he was offered a full scholarship, all right, to have the best education in Babylon. Okay, it's like to Today, you get a full scholarship to Georgia Tech or UGA or even Harvard and Princeton. Okay, it's all paid for. All right, he was provided with the best resources, including the food that the king himself eats, prepared by the iron chefs of Babylon. Okay, he was even promised a potential prestigious career to work for the king if he could prove himself and be assimilated into the Babylonian way of life. And so you see, in this new place, Daniel, he had to decide for himself, how was he going to live? Should he hold on to the faith of his fathers and continue to live according to God's way? Or should he be assimilated into a new way of life and adopt new customs, new values, and maybe even a new faith in different gods? Now, in many ways, I want to bring to your attention that Daniel's crises are very similar to the challenges that we all face today. Okay, just like Daniel, who had to decide for himself who he really was. Was he still a Jew, or should he become a Babylonian? I think for many of us here, we have wrestled with a similar question, right? Whether you have immigrated into this country or your parents or your grandparents immigrated to this country. For many of us, we have to wrestle with now, should I identify with my ethnicity of origin? Okay, whatever that may be. Or am I American? Right? I remember when I was in high school, I had that identity crisis. I asked myself, am I a Chinese still? Or am I an American? I don't know if you guys wrestled with that. See, Daniel had to wrestle with that, okay? And just as Daniel had to wrestle with his faith, okay, why did God allow a foreign nation to invade and destroy his country? What is God's purpose behind something that's so horrible and evil? You see, very often we have to wrestle with similar questions in our lives. Right, when we encounter difficult things and bad things, we ask, God, why did you allow these things to happen? Are you still in control? Do you still care? I mean, is there a purpose behind all of these bad and horrible things? And just as Daniel needed to figure out for himself, how should he live? Okay, should he hold on to his Jewish heritage and the ways of life? Or should he adopt to the Babylonian way? I think very often we too need to figure out for ourselves. Now, how do we live our lives in a world full of temptations and ungodliness? Should we choose to follow God and live according to God's ways? Or maybe we should just go with the flow and do what everyone else is doing. So what will Daniel do? If you were Daniel, what would you do? What would you choose? Well, let us find out. Let us look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. Once again, I want to invite you to look at this passage together with me, and let us read this passage together. Ready? Let us read. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Now, from this section, we see that Daniel, he made a decision. He chose to be holy. Okay, the Bible tells us he resolved not to defile himself. And so instead of giving up his faith and adopt the Babylonian way without any reservation, Daniel decided that he was going to live according to the convictions he had from God's word. Okay, in order to do that, the Bible tells us, first of all, Daniel, he made up his mind that he was not going to defile himself. Now, I want you to notice that instead of getting caught up in deciding whether he should remain a Jew or become a Babylonian, Daniel recognized that first and foremost, his allegiance ought to be to God. And so he made a resolution that he was not going to violate what God has commanded. Now, the question becomes, why would eating the food that the king provides and drinking the wine that the king has provided defile Daniel? How would that violate God's commandments? Now, the Bible here does not elaborate, okay? We are given no details, but we can gather from the rest of the Bible, okay, most likely that what the king has prepared for Daniel and his friends to eat, the food probably would have violated the Jewish dietary law according to the Old Testament. And the wine as well, probably the food and the wine would have been offered to idols before the food and the wine was given to them, because that was a very common practice back then. And so instead of violating God's word about what to eat, and in order to avoid the appearance of any idol worship, Daniel made up his mind that he was not going to accept the king's provision, and he was going to opt out of it. Now here we see that Daniel allowed his conviction based on the word of God to guide his decision and his lifestyle. Okay, Daniel has decided that he was not going to dishonor God. And so no matter what it takes, first and foremost, his responsibility was to be holy so that he can honor his God. Now let me ask you this question. How do you usually make decisions about your life? What guides you? Do you know what the Word of God says? Have you developed convictions based on God's truth? Do your choices and decisions reflect such convictions based on the Word of God? Or when you need to make decisions, you simply go with what everyone else is doing. You just go with the flow, follow the crowd, and be like the rest of the world. Do your values and lifestyle reflect God's holiness, or does it reflect man's worldliness? Now, I think you agree with me that it's one thing to make resolutions, but it's another thing to actually live by them, right? I think we all know this very well. How many of you make New Year resolutions in the beginning of the year? During New Year time, right? Okay. How many of you are still sticking by them today? Yeah, all the hands went down, right? So we all know, I mean, you know, it's one thing to want to do the right thing, but it's another thing to actually do it, all right? So we know here that Daniel, he desired to do the right thing. But how was he going to do it? Okay, and so in the actions that followed, we see that Daniel, he exercised tremendous amount of courage, courtesy, and consideration, and all because he had this conviction. Now, Daniel was courageous enough to act upon his conviction. And so he asked courteously and sought permission to live according to his conviction. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. All right? If you were Daniel, would you have approached the whole situation this way? Would you have asked, excuse me, okay, this is what I really believe, and I don't think this is the right thing for me to do. Can I do something else? I mean, would you ask in such a polite manner and for permission to live according to your conviction? Okay, I think if I were Daniel, I would just take the food, right? But I'll throw it away. I don't have to tell nobody, right? It's between me and God, okay? Nobody else needs to know, right? I mean, that would have been the easy way to do. But you see, by asking for permission to live according to his conviction, though, Daniel risked the possibility of being viewed as a rebellious, uncooperative, and a very strange young man. Okay? And not only so, he probably also risked the possibility of offending the king. Because you don't say no to the king. Okay, so this means that possibly Daniel could have been executed for taking a stand. And so once again, you know, if I were Daniel, I don't think I would do it the way that Daniel did. You see, Daniel could have just gone along with it, and he could have rationalized it. He could have said, look, everyone else is doing it. I have no choice. Okay, the peer pressure is just too great. I have to do it. And the fact was that his survival truly depended on it. Right? He could have said, God, don't blame me, you know. You're the one who brought me here, so I'm in this situation. It's your fault. I got to do this. So you understand. You understand, God, right? See, I mean, Daniel could have done all of that, but he didn't. In Daniel's mind, to honor God was more important than anything else. And when his request was denied by the chief official, he showed consideration to his concern, and he proposed, what about if this won't work, would you consider this? Okay, he gave them an alternative solution to think about. All right? Now, if I were Daniel, I don't think I would have done that. I would say, God, look, I tried, but it didn't work. Okay, so now I'll have to do what everybody else is doing. Don't blame me. Okay, I tried, didn't work. But once again, Daniel didn't do that. Okay, here we see that Daniel not only wanted to honor God with what he was doing, he also wanted to honor God with how he was doing it. And so by going about the way he did, the Bible tells us he actually won over those who had authority over him. And so they were willing to listen and try his idea. And so instead of coming across as someone who is very obnoxious, self-righteous, in your face, I'm holier than you kind of person, I think that Daniel came across as a young man with conviction, courage, and courtesy. And so instead of getting on people's nerves due to his lack of tactfulness, Daniel, he actually won people over with his consideration. And I also want you to notice that Daniel did not try to do this all by himself. The Bible tells us that he found three like-minded friends who also shared his conviction. And so together they supported one another and held one another accountable in this effort. Now, my friends, let me ask you this question. How do you usually go about serving God? Do you care about how you go about doing it? Or do you just want to do things your own way as long as you think you're doing the right thing? Doesn't matter how you do it. Do you come across as someone who is very arrogant and judgmental? Or do you come across as someone who is humble and you actually show a very appealing way for people to want to work together with you? You see, God not only cares about what we do, I believe that God also cares about how we actually do it. And so Daniel handled his dilemma in such a way that God would surely get the glory. Now, so what is going to happen to Daniel and his friends? Would their proposal work? Okay, will their desire to honor God pay off? Will God honor their desires to honor him? Well, let us find out as we look at the remaining section of Daniel chapter 1. So Daniel chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Once again, I want to invite you to read this passage together with me. Ready? Daniel chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Let us read. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end, okay, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now in this section, we see how God honored Daniel and his friends because they honored him. And we see at least 3 ways that God has blessed them. First of all, we see that God honored them by blessing them physically with good health. See, the Bible here tells us that instead of looking thinner and sicker, they actually look better in every way because they resolved not to defile themselves in their diet. And this was the primary concern for the chief official who was in charge over them. So seeing Daniel and his friends knew what they were doing, the Bible tells us those in charge over them were more than happy to assist them in their diet. And not only that, we also see that secondly, God honored them by blessing them with the ability to excel in their learning. So not only did they learn well, when they were tested by the king, they stood out among their peers. And the Bible tells us that they were even better than those who had been serving in the king's presence for years. And the Bible made it very clear they were able to excel. It was because God blessed them and enabled them. Okay, and finally, we see that God honored them by blessing them also with longevity, not only in terms of their careers, but also in their lives. Now, the very last verse tells us that Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now, King Cyrus was actually the king of a different empire, the Persian Empire, that came after the Babylonian Empire. Right, the Persians, they destroyed the Babylonians. In other words, the Bible here was trying to tell us that Daniel, he outlived his Babylonian masters, the people who destroyed his nation and made his life miserable. You see, sometimes we think that in order to survive, okay, we have to go along with the crowd. We have to do what everyone else is doing. We have to conform to the world. But the Bible shows us very clearly that true success is only attained when we desire to honor God above all else. Now, as you guys prepare to go back to school this month, okay, and for many of us, as you prepare to go back to work, you will be tempted to compromise. You will be pressured to conform. And so when you are put in that situation, What will you choose? This morning we have learned from Daniel that we will encounter situations in our life that will challenge our convictions and our faith. Okay, sometimes our beliefs and values will be shaken to the core. So unless we know why we believe what we believe, we will be pressured to conform to the world. And I believe that God allows these circumstances to come to our life so that we can actually work out what do we actually believe. And when we are put to the test, our choices and our decisions, they will reflect what we truly believe about God. Now, when you choose to honor God above all else, sometimes that means you may appear to be strange and uncooperative. Even sometimes you may stand out among the crowd and you will be isolated and you will become the target of all kinds of ridicules and attack. Okay, it's not going to be easy, but as Daniel has demonstrated for us, it is possible. It will take a lot of courage as we learn how to discern wisely and execute courteously and even learn how to be considerate to other people who may disagree with us. And as we seek support and accountability from other like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, it is possible. I remember a college student that I met many years ago. Okay, at that time, she was actually going to a Christian college. And she has grown up all her life, never really enjoyed studying or going to school. Okay, so she never did well. So when she was in college, she learned how to survive by cheating on her homework and her tests. Okay, and most of her friends were doing that as well. But when she came to know Jesus Christ, all right, she realized, now this is not the right thing to do for me anymore. So she stopped cheating. I remember one day she came to me and she told me that, Pastor Jeff, it's so hard not to cheat. Okay? I try to study, but my grades are worse than my friends who don't study and just cheat. It doesn't pay off. Okay? And my friends, now they make fun of me because I used to be just one of them. Okay? Now they pick on me. They say, oh, now you think you're a Christian. You're better than us. So you don't want to cheat together with us now, huh? See, sometimes it's hard, okay? Doing the right thing is not easy, but it is possible because it is the right thing to do. And from Daniel, we also learned that the end result is that God will always honor those who honor him. How do we honor God? Well, we honor God by living according to God's word. Okay, we do so out of our love for God. And by doing so, we are actually serving God's purpose when we choose to live a holy life, a life that is pleasing to God. And when you choose to honor God, okay, you can expect that God will honor you. I remember another person that I knew. She used to work for a law firm. And whatever was going on in the law firm, she would tell me that, you know, Pastor Jeff, they asked me to do these things that are just not right. What should I do? So I asked her, well, have you talked to your boss? Because supposedly her boss was a Christian. Okay, and her boss would tell her, you know, don't worry about it. Everybody does it. This is how we do things in this profession. Okay, so don't worry about it. Okay? But it just bothered her to such an extent, one day she said that, you know, I cannot take this any longer. And so she quit. She quit that job because her conscience was so convicted. And then later on, she found a new job. Okay, she started out at the bottom of the company, but because she had integrity, okay, not only was she competent and responsible, her boss started to see that, hey, you know, here is a rare person, someone I can actually trust. And in a very short time, she got promoted. Okay, she became the right-hand person of her boss. And today she is doing extremely well. You see, God does honor those who honor him. Sometimes we think we have to go along with the crowd. But the fact is that if you choose to do things God's way, God will bless you back. Now, as you go back to school, you will be tempted to sin. All right? Your friends will want you to cheat with them on your tests. They may persuade you to drink, to smoke, to experiment with drugs, or to become sexually active. You will feel the pressure to go alone. And if you don't, you will stand out as someone who is very strange, weird. Okay, someone who doesn't fit in. Even as you go back to work, you also will be tempted to sin. Your bosses and colleagues, they may want you to do things that you know are not ethical. They may want you to lie and force you to compromise on your principles. And if you don't, you will stand out as someone who does not cooperate, who is not a team player. And very possibly, you may even lose your job for it. It is not easy to live a godly life in an ungodly world. But I want to tell you that God is looking for people who truly believe him and will live by his truth. Will you resolve to honor God? I pray that today we will make up our mind, cultivate convictions that are based on God's truth. And out of our love for God, we live by them, no matter how difficult it is. And you will see how God can use you for his purpose, no matter where he places you, whether it's in your school or in your workplace or in your family.